Rob Bell said, "Listen to the voice that's deepest within you, and you'll discover that it's been telling you the truth this whole time." Welcome back to another episode of Morning Coffee. My name is Rick Alexander. You guys can follow me at @RickAlexander_. And of course, if you're digging the show, share it with your friends, family, anybody you think might be able to benefit from some of the message here. Today, I want to talk about something that, well, quite honestly, it's difficult for me to articulate simply because it's often pre-verbal. It's an inner knowing. It's the feeling of resonant truth. In Western culture, we really put a lot of emphasis on being able to reason and to figure things out. And so the mind is usually at the top of our decision-making hierarchy. But it's important to understand that the mind, it's not always the first to know. Often we find ourselves called in a certain direction in life, and we truly don't know why, but perhaps might just know that this is where we need to be. What I've found personally is that often we have to kind of surrender to our inner knowing, simply because if we wait for the mind to catch up and we wait for the words to be able to articulate what we're thinking, we may never get where we're meant to go. Sometimes you got to start the business or go learn about the thing or start the project or write the book, not because you know why you're doing it, but simply because you know that that's what you need to do. You can also tune into this inner knowing not by creating things, but rather by listening to other things. For example, even listening to this podcast, you probably have moments where you listen to it and think, no way, that's not true. And then other times, I guess this is true, especially if you've been listening for a long time, where something I say just resonates as true for you. You can tune into this when you're reading books, watching sermons or lectures, really whenever you want. Inner knowing usually takes place a bit before articulation. It occurs somatically. That is to say, it occurs in the body before the mind has any real idea about what's going on. This is why inner knowing is felt in the body first, which is often why we don't have words for the reason that we're being called in a certain direction in life. If you've not began to dig into the research and you're more of a heady person as I am, something like this sounds preposterous or like mere wild speculation. But it's worth pointing out that you have neurons in the body just as you do in the brain. You truly sense your way through the world relying on your body. For example, you have what are known as mirror neurons, spread between the body and then various points in the brain as well. And these neurons mirror or pick up on what other people are doing. Actually, we're not the only creatures to have these, as they've been found in birds as well as other primates. But essentially, this is how you know how someone is feeling without them ever saying a word. You probably really pick up on this on your partners. Or perhaps when you're talking to someone and you know that they actually feel counter to the words that they're saying. Not only are you reading body language and facial expressions and voice tonality, but you're actually perceiving with your body how they are feeling. Another manifestation of this is the gut feeling that we're all capable of hearing. This isn't to say that the gut feeling is perfect, because this intuitive sense is something that has to be honed and understood. It's deeply personal. There's a part in my new book where I talk about the fact that a gut feeling might be incredible information that surpasses what you understand, and it just as well may be that you're triggered by something in someone else that you've never taken the time to understand. Like, for example, it's possible that you meet someone and then right away don't like that person because they truly have values that run counter to your own. And so you kind of get that in your gut before you really know anything else about it. And it's just as likely that they do something that reminds you subconsciously of something that maybe a caretaker used to do and that you haven't yet worked through. Humans are weird and complicated creatures like that, and we harbor subconscious beliefs and goals and ideas, and it's really hard to sort through until you like learn to hone that process and gain a bit of self-awareness. But that doesn't mean through work that we can't learn to understand ourselves better. Because if you can vector in your own inner knowing, you're given another tool by which you can navigate your life. Now, it's important not to look at this concept as the same thing as belief. And I say that because oftentimes my inner knowing has clued me into truth that actually runs counter to what I think I believe. It may sound a bit like belief, but actually it's different than that. You can think of belief as something like a string of thoughts that you have chosen to believe. In this way, sometimes belief is actually a pathology. For example, lots of people believe that their innate human worth only comes from their net worth, right? That's a belief and also probably a pathology that causes disease in the body. Or perhaps believe that they aren't worthy of love unless they act a certain way or receive validation from a certain activity or performance. Who knows, right? The point is, we all have these deeply held beliefs, and a lot of times they work against us. This is why we have to untangle belief from inner knowing, because often if you can listen to your inner knowing, it will tell you things specifically where your beliefs are hurting you. Now, I believe this is also why the wisdom traditions often try to empty us of our beliefs. For example, the whole point of meditation is often to let go of what you think you believe. And in emptying out your mind, you can often feel what's actually true for you. There's a lot of obstacles to your inner knowing that are also worth taking into consideration. The first one I've already mentioned. That is simply the fact that we live in a world that prizes intelligence. In fact, IQ is roughly correlated with success in every domain that we have. For this reason, I don't in any way believe that intelligence is a problem. I simply think we have to acknowledge the shadow of everything that we use to light up our world. The shadow of intelligence, for example, is the fact that the intelligent person often believes that because they understand so much, that nothing might exist outside of what they already know to be true. And this is a dangerous belief when you have a finite mind, because there's always something that you don't know. Another obstacle is the idea that we're broken. So in Christianity, this idea popped up around 1600 years ago, and it's known as original sin. And to be honest, it's permeated culture far more than just religious practice. Most people in the modern world have an underlying belief that they're like inherently broken or flawed or perhaps irredeemable. This isn't to say that you don't have flaws, but it is to say that if you truly believe that what is deepest within you is broken, you'll have a hard time trusting it. Where I see this in modern life is the person in their 30s that wants to pivot careers because they feel an inner calling to do something else, but they can't let go of the metrics the world has given them. Or you see this in the adult that wants to take on a new project, but because they can't articulate why, they never actually do. I've got a buddy that wants to write a book. He just talked to me about writing a book, and he's talking about all of his beliefs that are holding him back, right? So inner knowing and belief, very different. Remember, often what we know intrinsically takes place pre-verbal. Don't not go on an adventure because you can't articulate your reasons based on arbitrary metrics that you've chosen to believe matter. The idea that you have to justify your life or your projects to anyone is an absurd notion that will hold you back for as long as you let it. Now, there's another idea that I heard in church growing up that kept me from listening to my inner knowing. Now, if you didn't grow up in church, this one might not resonate, but it's certainly worth mentioning. I remember being told about religion or the Bible, and I remember being told, you either believe all of it or none of it. So at the time, I didn't really understand human psychology. And so I found myself like really stuck because some things I found invaluably useful. Other things, I'm like, I can't really buy that. This left me with intense, massive confusion. What someone is saying by that, although rarely do they know this at the time, which is only why I'm saying it, is that what they mean is that you have to believe it all in a way that I've chosen to interpret it, or you can't believe it at all. Now, this makes people feel good as we find belonging and psychological safety when other people believe as we do. But it's not truth. While the sentiment might make sense philosophically, right? That statement does philosophically probably make sense if you're going to follow a certain doctrine. It's important to understand that you're not obligated to anyone else's perceptual lens. And so becoming free of the way that people have perceived something, right? We all have our own perceptual lens, and you can't get around that because you're a human. So no matter what you have outside of direct experience, it's interpretation. And becoming free of that is precisely what learning to follow your own inner knowing can give you. When you listen to something or read something that might be interesting, simply learn to feel the resonance in your body. Learn to identify when things are true for you and when they're not. It's the closest thing to anyone else giving you an answer for your life that you'll ever actually get. Anyway, I love you guys. Have an amazing weekend. We'll talk later on Morning Coffee.